I was kind of worried what he was going to say because he told me he just might start preaching when he read the scripture. I said, no, that was my job today. Yeah. Anyway, welcome to the new year. Welcome to 2023. Kind of a unique opportunity to get to preach the first sermon of the year. For some, the new year is a way of saying goodbye to the previous year and looking forward to a new year. What are your expectations for 2023? Do you look at it as being able to turn over a new leaf as you turn over the page on the calendar? Or open a new calendar, as the case may be? I just love flipping over the page and there's nothing there yet. Waiting for things to be entered. Do you see it as a clean slate, as a way of starting over, beginning again? We've probably all made New Year's resolutions at some point in our lives. Most often they have to do with our physical health, to lose weight, eat more healthily, exercise more, or just begin exercising, stopping a bad habit, etc. And we've probably all broken our well-intended resolutions within the first few days or even hours of making them. Certainly our resolve is not strong enough to handle even the most realistic expectations we place on ourselves. Or maybe you've started to go with the new trend over the last few years of picking a word for the upcoming year. The last word I picked in 2020 before the pandemic hit was hope. I didn't even bother picking a new word for 2021 or 2022. Perhaps I unconsciously carried that hope with me over the last couple of years. Coincidentally, I've chosen joy to be my word for 2023. We'll see how that goes. And if you read the Daily Bread this morning's entry was, choose joy. I think that's a confirmation of my word for this year. Perhaps you pick a verse or verses to represent what you'd like to accomplish over the new year. I'm seriously considering a couple, but I haven't landed on one yet. Which leads to my progression of thought for this message. With each passing year, and the older I get, I think what we should be focusing upon is our spiritual health. Now is the perfect time to have a spiritual checkup or check in with God, our Creator, the great physician. And maybe our resolves, our resolutions for the year, will be more successful if we ask for God's help and provision. Let's look at Ephesians 4. 22 and 24. I apologize, I didn't have time to put a PowerPoint together, so you'll have to pull out your Bible or your device, or just listen as I read. Actually, I'm going to start in verse 21. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I like how the Passion Translation renders verse 24. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So what does renew in verse 23 mean? I did a word study on renew using Strong's Concordance, and what I found was interesting. The Greek word for renew is a derivative of the word renovate. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but the word begins with two syllables that are repeated, A-N, A-N, which in looking at the cross-reference for the compounded word, it is implied that it is repetitive or continuous. The Expositor's Bible Commentary states that Paul was reminding the Ephesians that they were to be perpetually renovated in mind and spirit. Ashland Seminary professor David De Silva says about the Ephesians passage, "Ephesians offers guidelines about behaviors that reflect the old nature that is corrupted by deceitful lusts and therefore not a reliable guide to be followed, and about the behaviors that proceed from the new nature. Because of their general nature, they cannot be mistaken for a new law, but rather offer a resource that will help the self-examining disciple perceive which nature he or she is nurturing or cultivating." The heading De Silva uses for this section in his New Testament survey book is "Walking in Newness of Life." What I'm trying to point out is that this is a process, putting on the new nature, thus the ing in walking, nurturing, cultivating, renewing. Another commentator states that although we have a new nature, we don't automatically think all good thoughts and express all right attitudes when we become new people in Christ. But if we keep listening to God, we will be changing all the time. Interestingly, they go on to say, as you look back over the last year, do you see a process of change for the better in your thoughts, attitudes, and actions? When we decide to accept Christ's gift of salvation, it is both a one-time decision as well as a daily conscious commitment. I don't know about you, but when I first came to Christ when I was 6, I had this idyllic picture that I would instantly become Christ-like when I asked him into my heart. My utopian view of being a Christian continued well into my later years. Little did I know that this would be a lifelong process, and that it would be one resolution that I wouldn't be able to fully achieve this side of heaven. And because it didn't happen instantly, I felt like a failure. About 2 weeks ago, I worked my way through a YouVersion Bible study that was called All Things New with Kevin Alusala of the music group Pentatonics. He has an awesome Christian testimony, by the way. I highly recommend this study. He highlighted a new thing on each of the 7 days: new light, focus, identity, joy, spirit, approach, future. He was joined on the day's video devotional on new approach by his podcast partner, Donovan Donnell, who made a remark that hit me right between the eyes. He said, "The only way to get the full potential out of a thing is to be in relationship with the person who created the thing." In other words, to discover our purpose in life for a new year, we need to be in relationship with God. Kevin also made this remark in the devotional for New Joy. God is calling you to change your mindset. What perspectives do you need to shift? What endurance do you need to cultivate so that you have a lasting joy that's not based off of a feeling, but faith in God, his processes, and his promise? Another interesting definition is of the word cultivate. It means to prepare and use, or try to acquire, or to develop. You can add an ing to that as well, cultivating. As I was beginning to work on this message, I turned on a YouTube mix of Christmas songs, which was set on autoplay, so I didn't know what was coming next. And Auld Lang Syne was one of the selections, which got me to thinking about the song and why it is sung for New Year's. Auld Lang Syne is a Scottish poem written by Robert Burns in 1788 that was later set to music. The phrase Auld Lang Syne is literally translated to old long since in English. It means something akin to times gone by. The first verse might be familiar with you, to you. Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and Auld Lang Syne? It is thought to symbolize endings and new beginnings. Henry Ward Beecher, who was an American clergyman in the 1800s, said, "Every man or woman should be born again on the first day of January. Start with a fresh page. Take up one hole more in the buckle if necessary, or let one down according to circumstances. But on the 1st of January, let every man gird himself once more with his face to the front, and take no interest in the things that were and are past." I would suggest that we ought to spend some time in prayer and reflection, maybe today or tomorrow. Ask God what expectations He would like you to have for your life in the new year, and then set small, realistic steps that you can take to be in relationship with Him. Look back over the past year and take note of both the good as well as the disappointing things. Don't dwell on the low points, but use those experiences as a starting point to change your mindset. I came across what was called the Great Annual Examine recently that had some very interesting questions to ask of oneself. For those of you who are not familiar with the spiritual discipline of examine, it is credited to Saint Ignatius, who over 400 years ago used to make a daily examination of the past 24 hours of his life. In this examine, it was divided into five sections of health: physical, emotional, vocational, relational, and spiritual. Here are the few of the questions from the general section, which preceded these five sections. Where have I most experienced the presence of God this past year, and why? In the past 12 months, where have I experienced the greatest sense of consolation, peace, contentment, shalom, beauty, etc.? In the past 12 months, what area of my life has given me the most desolation, preoccupation, depression, anxiety, etc.? These are pretty loaded and extensive questions, aren't they? If any of you are interested in the entire examine, I can get you the PDF. Just let me know. It was like 5 pages, I think. Just these 3 questions alone might be enough for most of us. A way to cultivate a more intimate relationship with God may be to focus on a particular spiritual discipline that you feel you could improve upon. Some of the examples of these include meditation, prayer, fasting, study, simplicity, solitude, submission, service, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. There are different lists of spiritual disciplines out there, but that list was by Richard Foster, who wrote a book, Celebration of Discipline. Maybe you would like to spend more time reading the Bible. One way to start is by using the Our Daily Bread devotional or something similar. It begins with a scripture passage, along with a short devotional, and then a one or two sentence prayer at the end. We may have some copies of those still available in the lobby. They come out every 3 months. You can also sign up and have it delivered to your house, because sometimes we run out here, or even in a daily email. As I pointed out, the YouVersion app has Bible studies, both written or videos, that include scripture reading and devotionals that are set up for varying times that are on a variety of topics. For those of you who like check marks, it will check off the days that you have completed. But please don't get hung up on this being a to-do list. You can set it up that you are notified each morning of the verse of the day. What's really neat is that I try to share these to Facebook each day. Some of you may have seen them, and I've seen you share them back. What's really neat is my cousin in Florida is usually the first to respond to my posts. There are also other apps out there that have verse of the day notifications. That's a good way to start your day. If more in-depth study might be appealing to you, I found that there are many organizations that offer online video Bible studies using books from various authors as the basis. I've done several of these, and some of you have joined me in those. I've actually signed up for one that starts January 16th, called The God of the How and When. I'm really looking forward to that. But maybe you'd like to improve your prayer life, which is communication and conversation with God. I know I used to get frustrated that I couldn't sit down and pray hours at a time. But all you need to do is get started with maybe 5 minutes a day. Pick up a book of written prayers or work through an acrostic on the word pray. Start with small steps. The BIC Week of Prayer and Fasting is coming up next week. Mary has emails scheduled to go out each day with the link to that day's selection. I know there are a couple of you that don't have emails or computers. Perhaps she would be willing to print a booklet for you. For this year and next, it will be focused on the Brethren in Christ core values, which I would encourage, especially if you're new to the BIC. Anyway, these are just a few suggestions to get you started. My admonition or challenge to you is to set aside that time today or tomorrow and ask God what he would have you focus upon for this year and pick a doable steps towards working on that goal. The lifestyle change that I've been involved with uses the 1% factor. Just focus on improving 1% each day. Exponentially, that adds up pretty quickly. Just don't ask me to do the math. That involves changing your mindset from having to go all out, 100% perfect, all or nothing. And most importantly, when you experience a setback or miss a few days, do not quit. Take a deep breath and continue down the path that God has set for you. Another suggestion would be to get in it. Accountability partner, someone who can encourage you to keep going when you need it most, and vice versa. I hope that this brief message has been the pep talk that you need to start off the new year with expectation, anticipation, and excitement. I'd like to close by reading the Passion Translation of Psalm 32, 8 and 9. Which came up again as the verse of the day in YouVersion app this week. I hear the Lord saying, I will stay close to you, instructing and guiding you along the pathway for your life. I will advise you along the way and lead you forth with my eyes as your guide. So don't make it difficult. Don't be stubborn when I take you where you've not been before. Don't make me tug you and pull you along. Just come with me. Let's stand as I close in prayer before we sing our closing song. God, we come before you at the start of this new year with anticipation and expectations for what this year will bring. We ask that you lead us, and we say yes to what you have in store for us. As the Isaiah passage said, you are doing a new thing. Give us fresh eyes to see you in new and exciting ways in our lives and in our world. Help us not be stubborn, but open to your leading by the Holy Spirit. Bring us to holiness, wholeness, and to health in you. Help us remember that you are our faithful God, who will continue to provide for us with strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow.